Hi, and welcome to a special emergency episode of Amicus. This is Slate's podcast about the courts and the law, the Supreme Court, the rule of law. I'm Dahlia Lithwick. I cover some of those things for Slate, even as each and every one of them continues to multiply like tiny little mushrooms in the forest in the rain. We are bringing you this extra bonus episode so we might process together the not at all unexpected 9-0 decision that came down Monday morning, holding that states may not remove Donald J. Trump from the ballot in Colorado or any other state under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. The decision in Trump v. Anderson functionally ends any attempt to bring about accountability for the events of January 6, 2021, at least by way of ballot removal for a candidate. Slate Plus members have access to the full version of this episode. If you are not a Slate Plus member, we're going to share a little taste of that conversation. You can always head over to slate.com/amicusplus to become a member and to listen to this episode in full. That's slate.com/amicusplus. Given the tenor of oral arguments in Anderson, the Colorado ballot case last month, the 9-0 result is, of course, unsurprising. But while the opinion was styled as a per curiam, meaning that it was unsigned, we don't quite know who authored it, there are two separate concurrences that would have vastly limited the scope of the court's ultimate conclusion that provides that only Congress can enforce Section 3 against federal office holders and only using some formula that we don't get to understand. The caped crusaders of Slate's jurisprudence team, that is senior legal writer Mark Joseph Stern, chief law of Trump, TM correspondent Jeremy Stahl, are here with me, bless their hearts, to pick through this decision. Welcome, Mark. Welcome, Jeremy.
Hi, Dahlia.
Hi, Dahlia. Hi, Mark.
And I meant bless their hearts in that non way. I didn't mean bless their hearts in the bad way. I meant it in the best possible way.
Okay,
This case begins when a group of Colorado voters file suit under the theory that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment prohibits Donald Trump from being on the ballot in that state because of the whole insurrection thing. A lower court determined in Colorado that they had a trial. They said, yes, he insurrected. He is not an officer under the plain terms of Section 3. Colorado Supreme Court actually finds, nope, there's an insurrection. He participates in it. Also, he's an officer, and it orders the Colorado Secretary of State to take him off the Republican primary ballot. Trump challenged that decision. The case was argued at the Supreme Court last month, thus proving the court can move quickly on some occasions. And on Monday morning, the court concludes that because the Constitution makes Congress rather than the states responsible for enforcing Section 3, Trump is reinstated on the ballot. So let's do you first, Mark, on the merits. What is the bottom line in the unanimous per curiam portion of the decision?
So the bottom line and the only part of this that is unanimous, that is 9-0, is that states can't go it alone to remove a presidential candidate from their ballots. A state like Colorado cannot just use whatever processes they've laid out for disqualifying candidates without any instruction or buy-in from Congress or the federal courts to say, hey, this guy is an insurrectionist. We don't think he is qualified to run for president, so we are going to take him off the ballot. That is forbidden, and all 9 justices agree. And basically, they all agree for the same reason, which is that presidents represent the entire country. They should be and are elected by the entire country, and allowing states to sort of go rogue or go it alone and tell their citizens, you can't vote for this guy because we think that he is an insurrectionist, would shatter that uniformity across the country and effectively allow a handful of states to decide a presidential election, regardless of what tens of millions of voters wanted. And that is supported by all 9 justices. I think a defensible conclusion. I will say that no one could pinpoint exactly where the Constitution says that. There's a whole lot of hand-waving about how in our federal system, all of the people get to vote for the president and, you know, it couldn't be a patchwork of states where some get to vote for him and some don't. It's not like there's a single part of the Constitution that says that. They're sort of reading this in. But I take the point, and the liberal justices agreed. And I think that if the court had said that and stopped there, that this would have been a narrow, unanimous through and through decision that settled this question for this particular crisis and conflict for now, and left a lot of future questions open for resolution on another day.
And yet, they go on. The lone opinion that Amy Coney Barrett files, and then a scorcher from Justices Sotomayor and Kagan and Jackson say it could have stopped there, but there's more. Jeremy, what's the more?
The more here is that, and the three progressive justices that wrote this concurring opinion that read as as you said, a scorching dissent, note this, that by a 5-4 margin, not unanimous, bare minimum majority, the five conservative justices minus Amy Coney Barrett decided to continue and extend the reasoning of this opinion and extend the results and outcome of this opinion by saying, in addition to the fact that yeah, states shouldn't be deciding this national question, we're also going to point out, and we're going to rule 5-4, that the only way that this section of the 14th Amendment can be enforced is through appropriate legislation by Congress. It doesn't say what appropriate legislation by Congress is. It doesn't say how appropriate legislation by Congress should be determined, presumably by another potentially 5-4 ruling of the Supreme Court, but this is the only narrow path by which Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, barring insurrectionists from the ballots, can be enforced. Justice Amy Coney Barrett did not buy into this. The three progressive justices most certainly did not buy into this and really, really made their case that this was just wild overreach and going so far as to answer a question and present an outcome that had not been requested of the court and that was completely unnecessary at this stage. And they make that very persuasively. And yeah, they went on.
If you'd like to hear more of that conversation, please subscribe to Slate Plus to unlock the full version of this emergency episode. To subscribe on Apple Podcasts, just click try free at the top of the Amicus show page or visit slate.com/amicusplus to get access wherever you listen. As a Slate Plus member, not only will you unlock exclusive subscriber-only Amicus content, but you'll also get ad-free listening across all your favorite Slate podcasts. That includes shows like Political Gabfest, Slow Burn, and What Next. That's slate.com/amicusplus. We'll be back with you on Saturday. Until then, take good care.